Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome in to the Early Line, hour number two, live right here on the Sports Grid Network. I am Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside as we transition now to week 15 in the NFL. 14 down, just a couple of more left in this season here, Donnie. And we're on the heels, of course, Monday Night Football. The LA Rams pull the upset over the Arizona Cardinals, 30-23 on the road. And the Rams are going to have to try and carry that momentum over into a tricky spot here against the Seattle Seahawks team that maybe is finding their groove right now. The line 6.5 for the Rams at home under that touchdown number. 47.5 is the total here. Both numbers fascinating because Seattle now has been able to put up 30 points in consecutive games. Before were the best under team in the entire NFL. What do you think here when you see Rams Seahawks on the slate?
I think the line is priced right here, Kevin, at -6.5. You're also taking a look at a short work week here, per se, for the Rams coming off an emotional victory going into Arizona, taking that victory. Now they have maybe eyes on, can we get that top seed overall? Outside chance of that, but can we make a run into the playoffs? But more getting those good vibes back in the building, because as I said, your last two wins against Houston and Jacksonville don't do much for me with those three straight playoff losses, but now you beat a very good football team, the best overall record in the NFL. But also take a look from Seattle, also on their own two-game win streak with beating San Francisco 49ers 2 weeks ago and then handling with ease the Houston Texans over the weekend. So you're coming into this game and say, okay, what do you like here? Because the one thing, if we're looking at a total in this game, Kevin, listed at the FanDuel Sportsbook at 47.5. If you engage Seattle, they can return fire, right? They can get into the high 20s or low 30s. Now, the Rams do have a very good defense. Here's another intricate part of this. You have Tyler Lockett, who's a very good wide receiver, and also DK Metcalf. If you can go into this football game and not have to worry about Jalen Ramsey, that certainly will help out Seattle. But the one thing you saw last night, Aaron Donald and that pass rush can crush any offensive line. So if you are a mobile quarterback like Russell Wilson, you're going to be on the move. Kyler Murray is as elusive as anybody in the NFL at that position, and he struggled last night versus that pass rush. So maybe if Jalen Ramsey's out, you still look towards the over, because last night in the game, ended up going over the total. Should have been a little bit easier there, but the first inclination for me, Kevin, was when Jalen Ramsey didn't play in that game. I said, you know what? Forget about the sides here. This actually helps the over in this ballgame. So maybe take a look at Seattle and the Rams, and also keep in mind, not in Seattle where it might be 45 degrees, rainy, and a little bit of wind. You're playing this in a dome on turf. Both of these teams should be able to score, and if Jalen Ramsey is out, that gives me a boost to the over at that 47.5 price.
I'm really interested to watch how that total moves, because not only have the Rams now, Donnie, averaged over 30 points per game of their last three, but the Seattle Seahawks offense, it's tough to say, did it get right, right? That game against San Francisco, they put up 30. Good for them. It was buoyed a lot. That opening fake punt, 74-yard touchdown by Travis Homer certainly helped out. Some turnovers for the Niners put them in a good position. You were on their team total, I believe, against the Houston Texans. You can tell me if that was a blow-away performance, but typically anything done against the Houston Texans is a bit of a grain of salt here overall. But just, again, doing the math, Donnie, that Seattle Seahawks team total will check in anywhere from 20.5 to
21.5. If you look at what the Rams have been allowing over the last month plus, Tennessee 28, the Niners 31, the Packers 36. They held the Jags to 7. Honestly, that might be a negative. And then Arizona still found a way to get to 23. Those will be some interesting numbers to watch develop. Let's bring the radio audience in. We appreciate all those tuned into the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside breaking down some Week 15 looks here just to try and get a sense of where numbers will move. Donnie, I want to talk about the other team that was involved on Monday Night Football, the Arizona Cardinals, on the road again, where they seemingly are at their most comfortable, the Detroit Lions, a 13.5-point favorite. Same total as the last game, 47.5. This is about whether or not Detroit can cover here. I don't really see an argument for an upset.
No, and I don't see an argument for an upset either. This is one of those get-right games for Arizona where you lick your wounds. You don't have to go on the road and take on Green Bay, right? You go on the road and you take on Detroit. So you get out of that home atmosphere. You say, all right, you go into Detroit. They're basically playing at the string at this point. They had their high watermark already with getting their victory of the season. It's basically after, what, week 8 or 9, Kevin, their only goal was, let's just get one win, and then let's not ruin our draft position, but let's just see if we can be competitive in games. And you saw the game going out to Denver, who Denver certainly doesn't like to blow teams out. They basically came in that game like, you know what? We're in the middle of this thing. We have no choice but to blow out this Detroit team because they stink on defense and offense and have no direction for the rest of the season. Same thing should be said for Arizona on turf. You should be a lot quicker, but also keep in mind, DeAndre Hopkins banged up in that football game. We'll see if he goes this weekend because also, when you're looking from an Arizona perspective, you know, they want to win a championship. They want to make a deep run in the playoffs. You tell me this, Kevin. Is DeAndre Hopkins playing in this game or not have any bearing on the outcome here? So if I'm looking from a perspective of this game, do I lean towards the over 47.5? Slightly here. But if DeAndre Hopkins plays, maybe just a team total for Arizona where they get into the high 20s here and really put this football team away.
I'm not even sure, Donnie, you need Hopkins to play the team total. I mean, I've talked about it a lot. But look, the Cardinals have dominated in this spot all year long. 13.5 is a lot. They laid 21 game to Houston and covered somewhat comfortably as well. I mean, this is a difficult spot to me to trust Detroit because of how tremendous Arizona has been all season long here. And we talk about it. If you want to be at your most comfortable, 7-0 straight up, 7-0 against the number, 7-0 to that team total on the road. Kyler has scored 30-plus points in every road game that he has played. It could be another spot just like that here. Come right back. We'll talk some more Week 15.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week 14 is in the books, which means Week 15 lines need to be talked about here. Get a sense of how lines will move. We talked in hour number one. We got it in there about the Packers and the Ravens and the way that that number's already moving here a little bit down to a 4.5, perhaps suggesting that Lamar Jackson will try and make the starting gate here. John Harbaugh has already said that they're going to prepare as if it will be Lamar Jackson against the Baltimore Ravens. You heard Donnie say, though, it's not really sure it matters whether Lamar is out there. There's another game with some similar question marks, which is the Buffalo Bills and the Carolina Panthers. Well, both teams, I guess, have their own question marks here as Carolina is going to continue their split quarterback routine, which is working excellent. Really good. I don't understand that at all. But Buffalo's quarterback, Josh Allen, is questionable coming in to this game here, Donnie. And this is the true essence of an early line. Should people be betting Carolina plus 10.5, hoping that that ends up being a game where they're going up against perhaps Mitchell Trubisky?
I don't know if you should be betting that's early at the 10.5 because I do think Josh Allen is tough and he's going to play. But having said that here, doesn't this now look like one of those games finally where Buffalo's going to say, like, hey, you know what? We have a couple running backs. Why don't we use them as opposed to using our quarterback as a running back? Because, you know, we take a look at Lamar Jackson. It's obviously different here. Josh Allen does have the athletic ability, but Josh Allen is a legitimate passer with a rocket in the NFL for an arm. So if you're taking a look at this game, and keep in mind, it's in Buffalo, it's on turf, it's going to be probably in the 30s, a chance of flurries, snow showers, and some windy conditions. Does this sound like a game where your quarterback is banged up maybe with a foot sprain? Or, hey, we're going to be calling some designed runs for the quarterback? Probably not. And then on the other side of the field, if you're the Carolina Panthers, your game plan going in against a good defense in windy, rainy, and sleet conditions is to have Cam Newton and or P.J. Walker to combine for 45-plus passing attempts. Not so fast for me. I look at this game and I take a look at the under 43.5 that's listed here and you say, now hold on, Buffalo Bills, man, they can probably get it going themselves against Carolina. But can they really, Kevin? And do they want to do that? Is this one of those games where they have three games on their schedule, which I think are automatic wins? This is one of them here. How motivated would the Buffalo Bills be to win this game? Obviously, they will be because they want to win and get into the playoffs. But that had to be a letdown where you go into overtime the week before, play extra football on the road, fly home, and your quarterback probably isn't going to do that much practicing this week. I'm not so sure about the 10.5 laying it against Carolina, but the one thing I am looking forward to here, Kevin, is the possibility of an under here in Buffalo.
If I'm not mistaken, Buffalo became the first team in history to not hand the football off in the first half of that game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which in some respect I understand. It's also quite bizarre to accomplish that. The one thing I'm trying to navigate here is, would I rather have the Panthers, let's say plus 10.5, Donnie, against Mitchell Trubisky, or the Buffalo Bills at minus 3 with Mitchell Trubisky? Because again, we talk about chasing lines, right? How many people out there beat Colt McCoy lines? How many people out there beat the guy who stepped in for the Dallas Cowboys, Cooper Rush, right, against the Minnesota Vikings? People were smoking those numbers, and it made absolutely zero difference when it was all said and done. And I look at this spot here, and look, the part of the reason why I think you could see Josh Allen miss the game, Donnie, is whether it is Trubisky or not, they should be able to beat the Carolina Panthers. They, quite frankly, have a legit chance to put that team on zero. We all know this, right? You were absolutely bang right about the Carolina Panthers. World of credit. Not sure if you got it yesterday on the show. There was one singular money line dog that cashed on Sunday, and that was Donnie's money line dog in the pick six. Tremendous, tremendous stuff there overall. I look at this spot, and that's what I'm trying to get the answer to, Donnie, is if Trubisky comes in, what is that line? And then would I still lay that number? Because I think they'd still be favorites with the Buffalo Bills.
I got to tell you, because usually you go from Mitchell Trubisky to, you know, a healthy Josh Allen. That should be a big move. But certainly it is against its team you're playing as well. Would you be surprised here if we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook here at a 10.5 and Josh Allen is out? You probably go to what, 6.5? You can't go to 3.5 here. Like Buffalo with Mitchell Trubisky would still win this game for me over the Carolina Panthers with relative ease. Yeah. But there is a price point here that does have to make sense. And also keep in mind, are we taking a look at the sports book here that we're saying like they're already hedging their bets, sort of? Because I got to be honest with you, Kevin. If the Buffalo Bills were completely healthy with Josh Allen, 10.5 is a light number in this game for a home game for the Bills, I honestly believe. Maybe this line is 12.5 or even 13.5. So the fact that maybe they're bracing for a chance that Mitchell Trubisky will take most of the snaps this week, point, where they're sort of in that hedge zone technically. But I got to tell you, if Mitchell Trubisky was the starter and I can get under 7, like 6.5, 5.5 in that range, which I don't think it'll even go that low, I would love the Buffalo Bills here because I think they beat up Carolina regardless.
That's a great, great, great point that perhaps this number is right now factoring in either the injured Josh Allen or a potential absence from Josh Allen. And also Mitch Trubisky, for all of the slander he's taken over the years, still a guy that's played postseason football, has been a legitimate starter. You're not bringing in it's not, respectfully, Donnie, Ben DiNucci, right? Your guy forever. It's one of those spots where you're not hopeless if it's going to be a Ben DiNucci or a Mitchell Trubisky situation kind of here. Now, that game, Donnie, of course, will have a lot of impact on the AFC overall. The interesting thing for the Buffalo Bills is they might get some help this week here from the Indianapolis Colts. At least they're favored to. A Saturday game as well. The Colts are a 2.5-point favorite. The total is 45.5. Let me ask you quickly this, though, Don, because I know you have some hard and fast rules when it comes to the different games and the way you'll approach games, right? Like Thursday, I know you'll be very cautious about getting down on a team total or perhaps betting on the road team. I know that's changed maybe a little bit this season. Saturday games, same approach as a Sunday, or is there a little more caution with that one less day?
No, there's no more caution on Saturdays compared to like a Thursday night football game. Both of these teams should be equally prepared. And also keep in mind, Kevin, both of these teams coming in rested for this one. So this isn't a quick work week for either one of these ball clubs. I love this game. And the simple fact is, if you went out on the street and you said, all right, the lines just came out for this football game where you didn't have a chance to open up your laptop or read into it at all, and you asked 10 people on the street, New England, Indianapolis, the line is 2.5. 9 out of 10 people say what? Oh, -2.5 seems a little bit light here for the New England Patriots. Not so fast. The favorite in this game is the Indianapolis Colts, and technically I do agree with it. And you're looking at this, Kevin, go, well, hold on. The best team in football right now, maybe. The hottest team in football, maybe. The New England Patriots, who just won the previous week there with a quote-unquote genius game plan out of Bill Belichick. How are they underdogs in this game? Well, again, you're still on the road. You still have to play football in a tougher environment. The Indianapolis Colts see the finish line here to try to get to the playoffs. This is almost a must-win for them. I think it matches up well, and Jonathan Taylor on the ground, over under a 45.5. Maybe this week, does Bill Belichick go opposite and go, okay, we only threw the football 3 times, ran it the rest of the time? Does he throw 47 times in this game to trip everybody up? I like the Colts in this game. And if you're just reading the line, this screams Indianapolis Colts.
The interesting thing about the Colts, some people have been in disbelief when I say this. They might be the best team in the AFC. That wouldn't be a hot take if they could just close games. So here's the problem with me for this game with the Indianapolis Colts. They will, without a doubt, have a touchdown lead in this game. It's about closing. That's what it's like. But Donnie, you know it well. You have this team win total over. You should have already cashed that ticket. You're still favored to cash that ticket, and you should be in a good spot. But this should have been done. It should have been a long time ago here. You look at the way that they have lost games. Double digits against Tampa Bay. Double digits against the Baltimore Ravens. Double digits against the Tennessee Titans. All turning into losses. The difference, though, between those teams that I just named and the New England Patriots, they're not coming back from down double digits. They don't trust Mac Jones enough to do it. Mac Jones will not be able to come back down from double digits. And that's why I agree that the Indianapolis Colts are this spot. With all that being said, though, I'm not really sure how you bet a Patriots game after what they did against the Buffalo Bills. Unless you truly, honestly, in your heart of hearts, think that was necessary. It wasn't. I don't know how you are lining up on Mac Jones props or anything of the sort. It'll be a fascinating one. There's a couple of more games I want to bring up for Week 15, and then we'll start to talk some hoops here on the early line. Come right back on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Big games throughout Week 15. One of the biggest games, and this isn't because I'm a Birds fan, truly is a monster game, as the Eagles will play host to the Washington football team off of their very, very late bye week here. Washington off of a really bizarre game against the Dallas Cowboys. Donnie, the Eagles are a 4.5-point favorite. The total is 43.5, and it feels like this line is continuing to move more and more towards the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, opened up at 2.5 here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now we're seeing 4.5s here at FanDuel, and I wouldn't be surprised if that line even moves higher into the fives, the 5.5s. Why? Because COVID is striking the Washington football team pretty hard. Basically, you know, no intents and purposes lies here. The entire defensive line seems to be out for Washington, and the one Eagle strength is what, Kevin? A very good offensive line and a running game that will be more than happy to hand the football 35-plus times in this game. So you take a look at a total in this one, 43.5. I think it feels about right. But when you take a look at a physicality of a team, the Eagles, again, coming off the bye, you saw the Washington football team play the Dallas Cowboys, and Taylor Heinicke got beaten to a pulp in that football game. Terry McLaurin, I believe, left that game with a concussion. So what's left in the tank? Antonio Gibson's a pretty good running back, but you can't just be one-dimensional and try to go on the road and win a football game, particularly when your defense is banged up and injured. I like the Philadelphia Eagles to win this game running away. The only question to me is, how healthy is the ankle of Jalen Hurts? Because if he is right in this game, they shouldn't have any issues winning it. And keep in mind, the last time we saw Jalen Hurts, a not-so-good performance against the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. Then you had a start out of Gardner Minshew, who looked very good against the lowly New York Jets. You're saying to yourself right now, if Gardner Minshew played in this game and started, Kevin, I would have no issues laying anything under a touchdown with the Philadelphia Eagles. But the simple fact with Jalen Hurts, if he's a little bit injured in this game, and are we going to get Miles Sanders back, which I don't think we will be. We'll take a look if Jordan Howard makes it to the starting gate. And if he's banged up, you're leading on Boston Scott again with a quarterback that didn't look good in his last performance in Jalen Hurts and a little bit injured. Maybe this game stays below the total of the 43.5. But if the Eagles come in and Jalen Hurts has a clean bill of health throughout the week, no reason to believe, Kevin, that the Eagles can't handle their business and win this one by a touchdown here and cover that line.
The thing about this game is, of course, the spread is very impactful, and that's what a lot of people are looking at. That's what we're often talking about here when we do these early line looks. But this game has so much impact on the futures market in terms of who is going to make the postseason, right? We've talked a lot about the make playoff odds. Washington right now is plus 230. The Eagles are right now plus 198. The Eagles will fall behind Washington and probably some other teams as well as it pertains to this market to go out there. Right now, the Eagles are a plus 175 choice to go out there and make the wild card the third team. There's only three choices there. Washington is interestingly 3-1. Of course, you'd be better off betting Washington at 3-1 to be a wild card team than plus 230 to make the playoffs. They are absolutely not taking the division off of the Dallas Cowboys there. These are the interesting things for me that we need to be following here. You know, the updated win totals that we often talk about and things of that nature. Even if you wanted to get involved, and listen, it's very unlikely. This does not have anything to do with me being an Eagles fan. But if you are looking to play in the conference odds, you get a little bit of extra value if you take a team where there's some uncertainty in terms of them making the playoffs. And it's pretty easy to see. The Niners, big favorite to make the postseason. 18-1. The Vikings are the next choice at 50-1. There's that extra boost with uncertainty that comes to make the NFC playoffs here. Whichever team gets the win will get a huge lift in terms of their race to do just that. I want to transition over, Donnie, quickly to the college basketball slate tonight. There's a couple of interesting spots on that board, two specifically that I've picked out here and that I want us to talk about. The first one is a game where the Duke Blue Devils are a monster favorite. The result is not in doubt. We already know who's going to win this game before they even take the court. Duke is a -35.5-point favorite against South Carolina State. The reason I want to bring this up is, well, one, it is Duke. They haven't played in 2 weeks, Donnie. The last time we saw the Blue Devils on the court was the 30th of November. And in fact, it was a game that they lost to Ohio State. Now, this two-week gap was built into their schedule here, Donnie. But I'm just curious, is when it, because again, we know that Duke is significantly better, but it does feel a little bit enticing to grab 35 points against a team that hasn't played basketball now in the month of December.
It does. And also, you're taking a look at a 2 weeks off here. And also, you know, the COVID surge going across country. You know, I don't really think they're under the same guise as like an NBA team or an NFL team. We have to release who has it, who's playing, and who's not playing. So I'd be a little bit leery of that heading into it. But the one thing you have to like about Duke, even if there are listing, because I haven't checked the lines yet, possibility of a team total here. And you say, well, why would you like a team total when Duke has been off for 2 weeks at this point? Well, they're going against a bad basketball team defensively. Any team on offense in South Carolina State, Kevin, that plays with a lot of tempo. So that means a lot of wide open shots, a lot of fast break points here for the Duke Blue Devils. And keep in mind, even after we saw them last with a loss, still top 15 in the country in efficiency on offense. They don't turn the basketball over. And you're taking a look at a South Carolina State defense, Kevin, ranked 338th in the nation. Duke should be able to do whatever they want. But again, you're right. It's hard to bet these games with that long layoff, because if you get a slower start in the first half, Duke doesn't need to turn the gas pedal on late in that game with under 8 minutes to go to extend their lead. They're probably already going to have a massive lead, but at the same time, how many points can South Carolina State score? If Duke is completely healthy tonight, it'll be interesting, because one would think that Duke at least gets into the high 80s at this point with a chance for a team total, but I don't even know if we'll get one listed tonight on this game, Kevin.
The funny thing as well is you see on our graphic, if you're with us on the TV side, that money line, it says -100,000. It's not a joke. That's actually what the money line is. You have to lay $100,000 to win $100 on the Duke money line there. I mean, that is just one of the more ridiculous things. South Carolina has covered three of their four road games. Duke have a couple of pushes under their belt at home, but they've only covered once so far at home. We'll see how that game plays out. Now, the best game on the slate is Alabama and Memphis, and this is an interesting game as well. The line has continued to creep towards the Crimson Tide, but it's one of those where you have to ask yourself, can it creep enough? They're now a 5-point road favorite against the Memphis Tigers. We always talk about, Donnie, traps, reading lines, an ugly line. This is one of the more interesting spots here because it feels like Bama -5 against Memphis is too easy. For those that haven't been following Memphis basketball, they lost four consecutive games, including losing their last game as a double-digit favorite at home to Murray State. Meanwhile, Donnie, Alabama has won four consecutive games, and the last two were against Gonzaga and Houston, two of the better teams in the country. Is this a spot where perhaps Memphis can surprise people and keep it within a number, or the books haven't moved off of Memphis as a legitimate team enough, and there's value on the Crimson Tide?
Yeah, we're looking for Memphis to start to turn the page on the season and get better, because I always like to say the silly season here. Well, it's only silly if, you know, you win a lot of games and you say, like, oh, what did you want them to do? They're playing like a bunch of bottom feeders here. But the fact that Memphis here has four straight losses, possibly looking dead at five, and probably will get their fifth straight loss tonight, there might be other ways to approach this game. If you take a look at some of the, you know, intricacies of each team. Alabama, very good on offense, no question about that. But both of these teams rebound the basketball very well in the offensive boards. So some chances for second chance points in this one. Now, if you're trying to take a look at an over in this game, you have the right setup, Kevin. Mm-hmm. Two teams in the top 20 here in offensive, you know, a tempo adjustment here. So when you're looking from a perspective of getting a lot of shots off in this game, some, you know, pushing the ball, getting some fast break points, you're going to get it here. But here's always the interesting point when you're trying to bet an over in a game. What do you usually look for? Obviously, you love tempo. You love shot-making ability, which Alabama has. But one of the things that always weighs you down when you look at the half, now hold on here. Alabama's 10 of 22 from the free throw line tonight. You know, Memphis is 9 of 17. Why am I 3 points short here with 30 seconds left to go in the game? Because the fact of the matter is, Alabama as a team from the free throw line, Kevin, 67%. How about Memphis? 66%. You leave a lot of points at the stripe here. That could hurt you in a total, but the tempo should be there, and I expect a better performance out of Memphis. I know Alabama is going to bring it on offense. Mm-hmm. Look more towards the over in this one if we can make some free throw shots here.
It makes a lot of sense. Right now, Alabama has played three consecutive overs and all of those games with big time totals, you know, 151.5, 164 was the game against Gonzaga. They've actually scored 90 plus points in two of their last three games here overall. Also, Memphis is 4-1 to the over at home this season. So despite that total again being pretty high, it is very high for a reason. I want to start transitioning over to the NBA side of things. I want to start by bringing in the Ben Simmons story here. And we can talk about this a little bit more on the other side if we would like. But it feels like, Donnie, we are getting closer to the Ben Simmons Sixers departure becoming legitimate. And we'll talk about the teams that are interested in Ben Simmons, and we'll break this down a little bit more. We'll preview your NBA slate tonight as well. But I'll ask you, are you buying that we are going to see Ben Simmons traded before the trade deadline this season, or he'll actually end up back on the court for the 76ers?
I don't think he's playing for the 76ers again here. So I don't think he's going to wind up on the court. And there's a really good chance that he does get moved, because the one thing that you have in the offseason, yeah, you have that market, Kevin, that sort of heats up. And you say, okay, let's move him. And then you say, oh, well, there's no pressure to do it here. Let's call his bluff. Let's see if he wants to return. It's clear he doesn't want to, and the Sixers are going to keep finding him. And Ben Simmons is a basketball player. He wants to play basketball. So now when you see that pressure, which is now not on the Sixers, Kevin, technically, it's on the other teams, because they're looking to blow their teams up as well or make a playoff push and think he can help their team. So that's why you're seeing this hot stove now heat up once we get into the months of December. It's coming quickly here. Ben Simmons will be on a different team. It's just a matter of where that high-priced offer is coming from and if it fits both parties or multiple parties here.
Multi-team trade seems to be the goal, but where might Ben Simmons land? The Lakers on that list. Russell Westbrook to Philadelphia? We'll talk about that in preview tonight's slate.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
NBA preview time here on the early line. Before we get to that, three games on this slate, Don. I just want to finish up this Ben Simmons situation here because we had from Shams Charania of The Athletic lists seven potential suitors. There could be more. There could be less. Leverage play. We understand all of that. But of these seven teams, the Knicks, the Lakers, the Cavs, the Timberwolves, the Blazers, the Kings, and the Pacers. I'm curious if one of those teams stands out to you because one thing we've heard about the Sixers wished their return is they want an all-star caliber player. And that's what's always made this Ben Simmons situation so interesting to me is because we know the Sixers are not trading Ben Simmons from a position that is similar to when the Pelicans moved on from an Anthony Davis. The Sixers are looking to compete. They were the number one seed in the Eastern Conference last year. This is a group that still has a roster that they believe can go and make a run in the Eastern Conference playoffs. So that requirement for an all-star is tremendously valuable. You look through these list of teams here. The Knicks only have one all-star in Julius Randle. You're not trading Randle to get Ben Simmons. That's not going to be something that is accomplished here. Same thing for the Kings. Are you really moving on from a De'Aaron Fox to then go out there and get yourself Ben Simmons? They seem to be competing ideas. Are the Lakers sending Russell Westbrook to the Sixers? I think Donnie might go on a one-season ban then from watching Sixer basketball. Do any of these teams, Donnie, catch your interest here from a Sixer standpoint?
Like, the one team that catches the interest of everybody is the Portland Trailblazers. And the fact is, we have a little bit of a Bradley Beal-itis going on. So, Donnie, what does Bradley Beal-itis mean here? It means, like, Bradley Beal is stuck making a huge amount of money in Washington and seemingly doesn't care if he ever makes the playoffs or makes a playoff run. So then you take a look at the Portland Trailblazers with Damian Lillard. And I think, you know, for what he has done for that organization over 10 years, if Damian Lillard said, hey, look, it's not going to work out anymore. I know I'm going to get my money. Let's even do, like, a sign-and-trade at this point. You know, I want to go to a contender, and it would be a perfect fit for this. Okay, we're going to reset the button here. We'll take Ben Simmons, you know, maybe Tyrese Maxey, Matisse Thybulle, take a couple of young players along. But you'll get Dame, and Dame, good luck in your career. Thank you so much. We'll hang your banner. We'll hang your jersey in the rafters once you retire. You'll always be a Portland Trailblazer. But the fact he doesn't want to leave holds up a lot of things, because then you take a look at, well, it's going to be CJ McCollum at this point. That deal would have already been made if Dame Lillard said, I want out here. I want to go to a contender. He probably would be in Philadelphia. And then the opposite end of the spectrum with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, you might be saying to yourself, when you saw those reports a month ago when Kevin Love wasn't playing basketball, we'll give you Kevin Love for Ben Simmons, like 19 first-round draft picks. But Daryl Morey, the Sixers, you know, president, has said it multiple times. We're not taking back future assets here. We want a ready-made all-star caliber player and more for Ben Simmons before we move on from him. Now, if you see Kevin Love the past couple of nights, say, hey, man, Kevin Love looks like the best player in the MVP, or excuse me, best player in the NBA, because last night you take a look, I believe he scored 23 points in the second half. His three-point stroke is back. But that's not what the Philadelphia 76ers need. So you take a look at the Lakers and the Timberwolves, you know, the Trailblazers, the Kings. I don't know what the right match is, but dare I say, the Indiana Pacers had a pretty good deal on the table for Ben Simmons earlier in the year that the Sixers may just want to revisit now.
I agree. Listen, we know the Pacers are selling. The interesting thing is apparently now it's one of the bigs, Sabonis and Miles Turner, and Caris LeVert. I don't think either of the bigs really make a lot of sense for the Sixers. It's Malcolm Brogdon. Yeah. It's getting Brogdon back onto the offer sheet there, and I think that's possible when it comes to the Pacers. The Kings, again, I don't see them moving on from a De'Aaron Fox. I think that would interest the 76ers quite a bit. Buddy Hield isn't enough, and as you said, they're not looking to take on future assets. The interesting thing is, can Portland finagle a way to have the Sixers take on CJ McCollum as opposed to Damian Lillard? I'm not sure how that all maps out here. I will say the Lakers being on this list is fascinating because there's no way Ben Simmons enters to that team on a here's THT kind of deal. That means you're getting you're trading Russell Westbrook to the 76ers. I cannot imagine that that is a deal that the 76ers do. I will say, though, if you ask Ben Simmons where do you want to go, it is very likely Los Angeles and then next to LeBron James. It'll be very interesting to watch that play out. I think this list will continue to shrink smaller and smaller as this all continues to progress here. But as I think the big reason to bring this up is we're making momentum and headway towards the movement of Ben Simmons, a landing spot that I think we all thought we would likely end up getting to, but maybe it's taken a little bit longer than anticipated. Let's start it up with some of the preview here for tonight's NBA slate. The biggest game on the board, unquestionably, the New York Knicks host the Golden State Warriors as a four-point home dog. The question, though, on everyone's mind is when will Steph break the three-point record? The interesting thing about this game, Donnie, though, is not only is this the second leg of a back-to-back for the Golden State Warriors, travel issues last night, getting out of Indianapolis, they're going to be on the road today to get to the Garden. It is a situation that if basically Steph didn't have a record in reach, unquestionably, both he and Draymond Green and a couple of others wouldn't be playing in this game tonight. It makes it all really interesting to me if Golden State will send Steph out there to break a record and then enjoy the rest of the game from the sideline.
I don't know if that's the case here, because when your competitive juices get going, Kevin, let's just say, you know, Steph goes out and drops two threes in that first quarter. Yep. He's not going to want to come out of the game to a standing ovation and say that's all for the night, because I was watching a little some of the highlights back in 2013 and 2014. I believe Steph dropped 11 three-pointers in one game back in 2013 and dropped 50 points in the Garden. He made it known last night after the game, which he played a team-leading 35 minutes in a game that almost went to overtime, and you brought up that they had travel issues getting to New York City. But the fact is, sometimes getting to New York City re-energizes people. And how many times over the past years where if you're looking to take a break, and what I mean by that is maybe a game where you're not going to play or a minutes restriction, it's very rarely where any NBA player says, you know what? I'm going to play in Charlotte. I'm going to play in New Orleans. But when we get to New York, I'm going to take the night off here. That's usually showtime at the Garden, and everybody wants to perform at the highest level and do something special. Also, keep in mind, family members flying in for this game to see Steph break this record. All eyes are going to be on Madison Square Garden. There's a really good chance he breaks it early and goes, you know what? It's going to be one for the people out here. Let me see if I can get after it and run up a double digit. So everybody will remember the night I went to the Garden, broke the record, and dropped 11 three-point shots. I think he wants to do that, Kevin. I do.
I agree. I actually do believe that that is Steph's hopes and dreams here for this game. There is something about a player like a Steph Curry when they get it going early saying, you know what? Tonight is the night. I agree. With that being said, right now, if you go to the player props market on the FanDuel Sportsbook, there is one player listed, and it's Julius Randle. There is some uncertainty, I think, around how this is all going to play out here. We have seen Steve Kerr not care a single bit about history. Remember when Klay Thompson, Donnie, had like 60 points through three quarters, and he's like, ah, yeah, enjoy the bench. We're up by a zillion. We're like, what are you doing? Let Klay go out there and play a little bit more basketball. Let us enjoy history. Steph will make two threes tonight, likely in the first quarter. That's probably the boost out there, FanDuel. Well, we know you love some early line. We know you love our ideas. If you're not going to give us, you know, Steph to make two threes for the game at plus 100, Steph to make two threes in the first quarter at two to one, whatever the odds you think make some sense there. I'll tell you this, though. The Knicks feel like it's the side for me in this game because of all of the different issues that are coming into the fray. Now, maybe the Knicks will be down by 20 points at half because Steph has scored 30 first half points. Maybe so. Maybe so, DRS. But because of all of that, I think I'd rather grab the Knicks plus the four. But we know what the main attraction for this basketball game is here tonight for Steph. And the funny thing about this all during this like lead up to this, Donnie, one of the better bets on the board each night has actually been his under 6.5 three-point prop.
Yeah. No, it certainly has been. And take a look at the Knicks from their perspective. You know, RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin already in COVID-19 protocols. Then they take a look at Quentin Grimes just added to the protocols list this morning. So some issues popping up for the Knicks here. But how about this? We take a look at the 3x2s at the FanDuel Sportsbook. How about Steph's own 3x2 tonight and bump it up to like a 10-to-1 price where he knocks down those two triples in the first 3 minutes of the game? Because you know well as I do here, Kevin, that first trip down the court, there is a play specifically put in for Steph Curry to get that three-point shot. That could be fun And also keep in mind, when some of the other markets open up, Steph Curry, first basket tonight, makes a lot of sense as well.
Interesting. Donnie, could the perfect record on first baskets be put on the line tonight?
Might. Yeah,
Interesting move there overall. A couple of other games on this slate, Donnie, also taking place in New York. The Nets are host to the Toronto Raptors. The Nets are an 8.5-point favorite. The total is 216. Toronto on the second leg of a back-to-back. However, they have been on the second leg of a back-to-back on the road three times this year. Not only have they covered all of those games, they've won all of those games. Obviously, though, this is a very difficult spot here tonight for the Toronto Raptors to get a win. But, Donnie, can they keep it within that 8.5?
Yeah, looking for a bounce back in this game, I guess you could say, for the Raptors from a three-point player percentage here. Went 11 of 31 their last game, shot 36% from three. But the guys that I like to match up here, Kevin, take a look at this. Fred VanVleet, 2 of 7. Probably would have had him factored in for 2. But how about my guy Gary Trent Jr., 0 for 4? Looking for a rebound in this one as I match up both of those guys coming into this game. And keep in mind also, that was the Toronto Raptors win 124-101 against Sacramento. I do think they can keep it close here. Also, to keep in mind in the last game that the Brooklyn Nets played, you know who rested in that game? James Harden and Kevin Durant went off. So if both of those two guys are in the lineup tonight, maybe some three balls look good there in Brooklyn.
KD scored 51 against the Detroit Pistons, a ridiculous performance. Though I think tonight the Raptors, again, keeping it with inside that number is tremendously live. The Nets have been an awful team against the spread at home, 3-9-1 early season. We'll see how this one plays out. I think there will be some props to line up for that game. The last game, Donnie, on the NBA slate, the Phoenix Suns go to Portland. They are on the second leg of a back-to-back. A lot of teams doing double duty here on this slate. Phoenix, though, again, that 2.5-point road favorite. The Suns, off of a loss, continuing to be playing shorthanded, Donnie. No Devin Booker, no DeAndre Ayton. I wonder if Chris Paul even plays in this game here on leg two of a back-to-back. And could this line perhaps flip around?
It could flip around here, but also I'm looking right now at the anticipated starting lineups here for the Phoenix Suns tonight. Chris Paul, Landry Shamet, Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, and DeAndre Ayton. So maybe he does get back into the lineup tonight, as it turns out. Dame Lillard obviously is going to be the show here for the Portland Trailblazers, who tend to play pretty well on their home court. Norman Powell, Nasir Little, Larry Nance Jr., and Yusuf Nurkic. And as we know here, Kevin, that's the 10 o'clock game. Probably staying a little bit extended time on In-Play Sports tonight for another 3x2. And I got a feeling in the first two games tonight, going to be way too many prop bets betting these two games, because there's no NFL and a very limited college basketball card for what we like to look at. But I'm here for it.
It'll be a fun game to watch. Portland recently getting Damian Lillard back. And boy, do they need Lillard back, as they have lost 8 of their last 9 basketball games. The Portland Trailblazers here, of course, those ins and outs, really, really impactful to this game overall. It will be a fun game to follow. Phoenix has been playing a number of unders, as they have played 6 of their last 7 towards the under. It'll be a fun NBA slate, fun college basketball slate. Don and I will have you covered on In-Play Sports tonight with that 7 p.m. Eastern start time. DRS closes out the early line next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment of the day for the early line right here on Sirius XM channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh carrying you through right through to 9 o'clock before we hand it off here to Ben Stevens and the morning after over the next 3 hours. But it's time for the people to listen up.
Hey, did you just hear that? Be quiet.
All right, everybody, listen up here. We're talking Super Bowls and where they should actually be because that's where the people want it to be. How about this? 2024, word comes out here, not officially just yet, but Las Vegas is going to host the Super Bowl. That is sensational stuff. That is exactly where the Super Bowl is supposed to be. But let's take a look at where the Super Bowl has been in the past. If we take a look at the past two Super Bowls, down in South Florida at Hard Rock Stadium, sensational. Warm weather, beaches, hotels, party life. Love it. Even had the last one at Tampa Bay. Okay, still Florida, still decent weather. I get it. You want to have it down in those atmospheres. Then you take a look coming up next in Los Angeles this year. Parties, nice weather, brand new football stadium. Love it. And then you say you're going to hand it over to Glendale, Arizona the next year, and beyond that would be in Las Vegas. But let's also take a look where the NFL has gone wrong many times here in the Super Bowl. And me, being a Philadelphia Eagles fan, we've been wrong twice. The Eagles have been to three Super Bowls. One was in New Orleans. Sensational back in 1980. Now, they did lose to the Oakland Raiders at the time. So be it here. But let's take a look moving forward where the Eagles were previously. In Jacksonville? Come on. How did Jacksonville end up with a Super Bowl? And then the other one where the Philadelphia Eagles hoisted the trophy? In Minnesota, where it was negative degrees outside? Guys, keep it simple here. There's a nice rotation in the NFL that we have to use. And also, the same rotation can be used for the college football playoff. Los Angeles deserves it. Las Vegas deserves it. New Orleans deserves it. Miami deserves it. Arizona deserves it. When you're getting for a nice little reprieve in the winter, fans want to go to nice weather, maybe a beach, play some golf, relax, and party. We don't want to go to Jacksonville, Minnesota, or Indianapolis for the Super Bowl. But Las Vegas getting the Super Bowl in 2024 is sensational stuff. You know what else is sensational? Ben Stevens coming up here on the morning after, right here on the grid for the early line, both myself and Kevin. See you tomorrow.
The only place to turn for expert sports gaming strategies and information.
But we just call it
The Edge.
This.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.